You're listening to a podcast from 702 and Cape Talk.
702 and Cape Talk. Entrepreneur Corner.
Indeed, it is time for the Entrepreneur Corner. Entrepreneur Corner is brought to you by Halex Santon, Oriental Plaza, Cedar Square, and Mall of Africa. Halex, for the businessman who knows what he wants, and why do I have the urge to say, tell him I sent you. 24 minutes after 11. Yeah, nah, geez, we will podcast that. Those of you who are wondering, the discussion we just had about the media, geez, it got lit here in the studio. And thank you so much to my guest who's joining us for this conversation, Yusuf Randera-Rees, despite the fact that we are starting late, the CEO and co-founder of Awetu. Yusuf, thanks so much for coming in.
Thank you for having me, sir.
How are you?
I'm great, and I'll tell you, I don't mind being late for an interview like that. That thing was on fire.
Jeez, this country. You blink and the news cycle moves on, eh? There's so much that's happening.
Yeah, it's true.
Absolutely
true. Today, let's talk about entrepreneurship. Let's talk good things.
I am very excited. I think, actually, I was trying to remember yesterday. The last time you and I spoke on this platform was during the early days. You had just come from, I don't know, either America or Europe, and you were like, they tell you at these MBA schools, you can be a millionaire if you have an MBA from Harvard or Ntonton in 10 or 15 years' time. I'm going to prove to them. I'm going to come up with a formula to test the aptitude of people that haven't had formal education in townships around South Africa, and I'm going to prove you that they can be excellent as well. I think that's when we had the conversation when you started out.
That was a long time ago, man, but that's the ethos of Awetu, that we have incredible talent in this country. I've had the opportunity to see world-class talent. I was with you in England. I studied in America. And I felt like we have people like that in this country and we need to invest more in them. And I didn't know anything more than that. I knew I wanted to start a business which invested in the talent of our people at the grassroots level and see what we could, how much impact we could have.
That was way back in 2009, right?
That was 2009.
That was in 2009.
Nearly 8 years of doing this now, yeah.
Yeah, and I remember coming out there in the early days. You were in some dilapidated building before Maboneng was a thing. I had to go up careful stairs and you had about four or five people in that early cohort. It's been quite a journey. Talk us through that, the early days and how it's, I mean, it's a long story, but I want to start there. I mean, I'd love to meet some of those young entrepreneurs that I met back then. I don't even know what's happened to them.
Yeah, so we started across the bridge. We started in Alex and we walked into Alex and we said, we don't care about all the things that the banks ask you for. We don't care about whether you have a matric. We don't care if you have a business plan written out in 50 pages. We don't care if you have collateral. We want to know if you can problem solve, if you are creative, if you know how to make money, if you can lead. And if you can do those things, come and show us what you can do, and we'll invest in you. And so when you came, we had 2,000 people apply. We set up our own screens for how you select for entrepreneurial ability. We got rid of all those things, like whether you have a matric, etc.
Yeah.
And we looked for what people can really do. And we had selected 6 entrepreneurs out of 2,000. And we were in a dilapidated office in Maboneng. It was 1,000 square meters with no windows. My friend was giving to us for free. When it got cold, we boarded it up with cardboard. and we worked from there. We worked with those 6 entrepreneurs. And actually, a cool thing to talk about, as of yesterday, we've gone over 2,000 entrepreneurs supported.
Wow.
And we've created over 2,000 jobs.
That is stunning.
So that's the story.
That is absolutely stunning. Yeah. And what was the business model? Because I knew that, you know, you had to sell to corporates that might invest in it. You're not a charity case just throwing money at projects. You also have some deal where in each of these businesses you might get a stake. What exactly was the initial model and how has that worked out? Have you had to modify it since then?
Yeah, so I watched a video of me doing a TED talk at that time a few weeks ago, and I talked about this model that we have. And thinking back now, I was 26. I'd barely started a business. We didn't really have a model. The basic model was, there's this talent. I believe this talent is there logically and experientially, and there's things that I can access for myself. I'm going to go find 10 people, and instead of accessing things for myself, I'm going to access what I can get. I'm going to access it for them because they're as good or better than me. And so if I can do 10 times, if I can help them, we'll have 10 times the impact. Mm. That was the basic model. But importantly, it was a business and not a nonprofit. And the whole point was impact. I felt like if we wanted to have systemic impact, if we wanted to change the country for these millions of entrepreneurs that are stuck in the informal sector, for example, you can't always be asking for non-profit capital. You've got to find a way to monetize and to make money so you can raise financial capital. Mm. And so we believed in talent. Mm. We wanted to leverage what we could get for ourselves, and we wanted to start a business. That was really it. So that has expanded and been modified and molded over the last 8 years for sure.
This test that you do to try and see whether someone has that potential to become an entrepreneur successfully and hopefully help us with, you know, what you economics types refer to as a multiply effect with employing people, and we can deal with the unemployment crisis. Like, given that you were convinced that someone doesn't need a degree certificate, what traits were you looking for, and how do you go about testing for that capacity or potential?
So we really started from ground zero. We said, okay, if you think of a good entrepreneur, what do they need to be able to do? Okay, number one, they need to be a problem solver. So let's find a test of problem solving ability. So we found the most unbiased, culturally unbiased test of problem solving that we could find. It had been around since the 60s, and we let entrepreneurs take that. So it was just patterns, you know, pattern recognition, no language, no English written there, just spot the pattern, pick the next one in the pattern. Then we said, okay, from there, what else? Well, they need to be reliable, they need to be competitive, they need to be hardworking, they need to be able to sell, they need to be able to lead. And let's set up tests for all those things. And we did that in various ways. We did that over a weekend where we did just a series of tests that we created. And then we did that over the course of, for example, a month where we said, come to the office every week. Come to office every day. Come for a couple of hours. Let's do a project together. Mm. And let's test that reliability and work ethic that you can't see in an interview, you know?
Mm. Okay, we're talking to Yusuf. I know many of you know him. And also he's someone who, you know, has been very good after initially selling the story of Awetu when he needed particularly to collaborate, especially with potential partners in corporate. And his entrepreneurs have been the ones who've really been telling their own stories. And that's just the Yusuf that I know, his own humility. But if you want to say how's it, if you have worked with him, give us a call. But also, he is just so knowledgeable about entrepreneurship. Perhaps you are a young entrepreneur yourself. There's a question you want to chat about. Let's have that conversation. Let's problem solve for it. And we'll do our best to help you. The line's already going crazy. 011-883-0702 in Jersey. And in Cape Town, 021-446-0567.
702 and Cape Talk. Entrepreneur Corner.
27 minutes before noon, Entrepreneur Corner, and we are talking about Awetu Project, providing entrepreneurship training for youth in our lifetime that we desperately need Izolo already. And I've got Yusuf with me, of course, is the CEO and the co-founder as well. We'll take your calls in a second. Dylan, I see you. Keegan, we'll get to you. Yusuf, I know you're very proud of some of the incredible talent that you've worked with. Just randomly, because one doesn't want to choose faves, but tell us the story of some of these folks. Maybe one or two of the newer ones that I probably haven't met. And then the ones that started out, you know, way back, and what has happened to them, so people can have a real sense of
so I want to. I actually want to talk to you about that. So I said where the model started, which was just about nowhere, other than a belief in our people, really. But where it is now is that it's become this fully fledged thing. We've just gone over 2,000 jobs. I mean, on the subject of taxpayer money and what it gets used for, we had a target of 2,000 jobs from the Jobs Fund, which was a treasury initiative, and we've gone to 2,200. So we've outperformed for the taxpayers of South Africa through the most vulnerable entrepreneurs in the economy. We've outperformed for the taxpayers of South Africa. So that's great. But there's two things really. There's that micro incubator now, which focuses on the informal entrepreneurs in the economy, either people who want to start or these 2.75 million entrepreneurs, basically every entrepreneur in a township in a rural area who need help, but everyone in our institutions pretty much dismisses as they use this word survivalist, which I hate, as if there's something wrong with with trying to survive and offering help for that purpose, you know?
Sure.
So we work there, and we're launching an app now to take all that work to scale. And then we've moved into much more sophisticated businesses and the transformation of the economy, what we consider radical economic transformation, which is in partnership with SAB. And we've got, a 300 million rand equity fund to transform the SAB supply chain and to show other corporates how that should be done. So those are two things to talk about. And I'll give you two examples. So in the micro fund, an entrepreneur that recently told a story at Awetu, an entrepreneur by the name of Rafilwe, she came into Awetu, she was unemployed. She has four kids, didn't have a source of income. She actually borrowed money to get a taxi to our offices. We gave her startup capital. We helped her to think through her idea. So we give 5,000 rand of startup capital, but we have mentorship and training to help entrepreneurs to start things. And so she bought I think at this, her first tranche of, she bought chickens. She bought 40 chickens. She sold those. She used our money to buy a little crate, and she went to the market, and she described it that she did whatever she had to do to sell those chickens. And then she slowly built 40, 50, 60. She got to 100 chickens a week, which 100 chickens a week at 90 grand gets you to 40 grand in revenue a month, from nowhere, from no income.
Wow.
And so from there, she employed two other people. Both of them did profit sharing with her. She moved. Everything about her circumstances changed from that. She was able to provide meals for her kids to go to school. She was able to move them into a proper house. These small things that we take for granted sometimes in the formal economy, she was able to do because she had that small business selling chickens. So that's a small example of how micro entrepreneurs create jobs and how aspirations get fulfilled, how we cater to the needs of the country through the microeconomy and the informal economy. So that's one example. Mm. That's our micro business incubator. There's other examples in our incubator of way different types of stories. So we've had three entrepreneurs come through from Hollard, and they've got a micro franchise where they sell their products. And those entrepreneurs have gone out, they've come out of Hollard Corporate, they've started these micro franchises, and I think on average, each of those three has employed 50 people. Each.
Wow.
Each selling their product.
That is stunning.
And that's a totally different sort of story and type of entrepreneur. These guys have had a lot of opportunity and they've come out and done that. And then you go over to our fund, which is again, like I said, we're investing 10 million rand per business on the fund side. And a great example there is an entrepreneur by the name of Bev. So there's no black hops farmers in South Africa. There's no black hops farmers in Africa, but that's because we are the only country that grows hops. And there's no woman in that industry. And so what we did, Bev Joseph was working for 10 years with SAB. She's my age, a black woman from that area. Her dad worked on the farms, but she had never had an opportunity to buy a farm. And so when an opportunity came up, she wouldn't have had the capital, but Aweta and SAB have funded the purchase of that farm for her. She moved onto the farm a month ago. She just did her first harvest. She's the first woman hops farmer in the country. She's the first black hops farmer in the country, and she's being supported by SAB and by our post-investment support to become the kind of role model we need.
Stunning. That's gorgeous. Let's go to Santon. Hello, Dylan.
Hey, how are you, Sivius?
I'm very good.
Yusuf, how are you?
Hey,
so, Yusuf,
Dylan,
you might not remember me. I was at school with your younger brother, Samir, back in the Crawford days. And I was part of the Smooth group. It was myself, Samir, Philip Raymond. And if I can just say first things first, I think what you've done with Aweta and your entire incubation program, it is phenomenal. And I've got a tremendous amount of respect for you, for your entire family. If I can just mention that, you come from an amazing family. What you're doing is incredible. But I'd like to go back 19, 20 years ago and mention that once Yusuf stuck a dirty sock into my mouth.
Was he gagging people?
I was going to ask you not to talk about any of the things that happened with the Smooth group.
I had to mention that, but you know, I grew up knowing yourself and knowing your family, and I've just got to say, following your journey over the last few years with what you've done.
Cheers,
Dylan. Really, really, that's phenomenal and well done.
Yeah,
you really are a shapeshifter in the South African economy, and you really are doing wonderful things for this country. So thank you for that.
Notwithstanding a dirty past. Let's go to Randburg. Hello, Keegan.
How's it, Yusuf? Yes, and Yusuf, how are you guys doing?
Hey, Keegan, how's it, man?
We're very good, Keegan. You got a question for Yusuf?
Yes. Yusuf, I am a budding entrepreneur, if that's a term I can claim. But basically what I'm trying to find out is, obviously you are talking about the Aweta program and all of that. In terms of getting into that, how does that work?
Yeah, you know, you thought we were just trying to plug a hole, not having guests here.
No, that's not.
You see, this is the kind of thing, because this reminds me when we had Tabisa on from Blackbird Books, and everyone's like, I'm a budding writer. And she was ruthless. She's like, not everyone is a budding writer. Who is an entrepreneur? Who's not? How do people know?
Okay, so
there's that question, and then there's the question about how do I get into your amazing program.
So I thought the subject of what I'd get asked here, I thought 95% chance that people will ask about opportunity, and 5% chance they'll remind me that I stuck something in their mouth. So I was ready for the opportunity question. So Keegan, there's a few things you can do. One thing, we are launching we're taking everything we've learned in our incubator with these 2,000 entrepreneurs, and we're thinking, how we get it to people? How do we get it to the most people possible? And we're doing that through an app. And that app is being launched in the next month. And so anybody who's interested in that, if you're early stages, this is for entrepreneurs who haven't had entrepreneurship training. It's for you want to start a business, you want to grow a business, make some money and improve your life. This is the kind of thing for you. Email info@awaretoproject.co.za and sign up, and we'll get you involved in testing the beta version of the app. Okay, that's one thing. The second thing, our incubator will open again in July. You can apply for that. But a very good thing for you guys now is that you should also look at what SAB is doing, because SAB has programs across the board for all different types of entrepreneurs, really comprehensive programs, and you should look at those programs. So go on the SAB Kickstart website will be the next thing. Go and check out SAB Kickstart. And then if you want to be in the SAB supply chain, you can also see those programs there, or you can check those out on our website. So there's lots of opportunities, very competitive opportunities, but there are certainly opportunities to be had. I don't know. The question of whether you are an entrepreneur or not, without sort of lecturing, I would say you just go try, man.
Okay.
Go try. If you have it in your heart to try it, go try it. Think about the risks and mitigate those. But you got to, if you want to try this thing, try it, and hopefully we can support you to do that.
Mm.
Yeah.
Also follow @awaretoproject on Twitter. Their handle is very active, and they also constantly will remind you of some of these opportunities. Marlon, hello.
Hi, guys. How are you guys doing?
We're very well. Thanks, Marlon. What do you want to say?
I have a few things, but one, the education around entrepreneurs. So there's a lot of incubators and accelerators out there, but there seems to be no continuation or unison amongst these incubators. So my question to yourself is, how do we make sure that guys like the previous caller asked, how do you know whether you're an entrepreneur or not? These guys go through, in my own experience, you go through various incubators and accelerators, yet you never graduate to become an entrepreneur, number one. Number two, once you're happy with the program or not happy with the program, if you decide that, look, entrepreneurship is not for me, or after five times going through incubators, there is no formal education coming out of it. There's no formal recognition from a corporate perspective that allows that person to gel back into being an intrapreneur rather than an entrepreneur. That's my first question. And then the second, around hardware accelerators, people coming up with new products to build businesses out of. It seems to be there's not enough, or there's just way too much red tape amongst EA and all these other agencies that are supposed to be funding innovation. Mm. How can we change that perception and reality for entrepreneurs?
Okay, some cool questions. Thank you, Marlon.
Marlon, that was not two questions, man.
And then okay. He hangs up. He'll listen on the radio.
Okay, so quickly, I'll try to sort of deal with the general themes. You talked about the unison amongst incubators. A key, an amazing thing for entrepreneurs in South Africa right now is there's a ton of opportunity. That's important, right? Like, you could be in another country and there's no incubators, there's no funding, there's no nothing. Here we've got a lot, and the job is figure out which ones are best and which ones suit you best. So there's obviously just Google searching, but there's something called Catalyst for Growth, which has benchmarked all the incubators, or is benchmarking them, and you should research to see where different incubators stack up. So that's one thing. Second thing, you talked about graduation to being an entrepreneur from an incubator. I think that's the wrong way to think about it. Mm. I think that the downside of having so much support is that it's almost like making entrepreneurship into this thing that gets driven by the support organizations instead of being driven by the entrepreneurs themselves.
Mm.
For me, the reason entrepreneurship is an exciting thing, the reason it's a form of solution for South Africa, is because it's driven by people. It's people driving the outcome themselves, and they get supported. It's not incubators driving the outcome and the people get supported. So you come into an incubator as an entrepreneur. You don't graduate from an incubator as an entrepreneur, in my opinion. You may not have a business set up yet, but you are coming in with the mindset and the attitude that will make you that fits an entrepreneurial profile. Then you learn the skills and you get the support. So that's important. You're not graduating. And that's an approach that Awaretu has always taken. So Eusebius asked some of the stuff we do to test whether you're an entrepreneur or not. One of the simple things we do now is that we give people, they come in for half a day workshop. We explain, this is how we want you to put your idea together and present it to us. But first, we want you to go away and make as much money as you can with $100. Mm. Take $100 and make it as much money as you can over the next week and come back and tell us what you did. Show us. Just show us. That is entrepreneurship right there. Show us what you could do. And then we'll take it from there. Mm. So if you feel like your goal is to come into this thing to be helped and then to go back into corporate, I think you'll find it difficult to get into most of the incubators because that's not the goal of what people are looking for. People are looking for the people who are going to lead their own business, their own lives, and then through that, the economy, you know. Mm. Then you had what was your last question? Your last question was about tech accelerators and incubators. There's actually less of that than there is just about support for everything else. So we're bad at supporting informal entrepreneurs and we're bad at supporting high-impact technology. Mm. However, there are a few things happening at the moment. So if you drop me an email, I can't remember names offhand, but if you drop me an email on info@ourwaytoproject.co.za, we'll find out those names of the programs that you can apply to.
Great stuff. TK, Nazim, I'm going to take your calls right after this.
702 and Cape Talk, Entrepreneur Corner.
7 minutes before noon, and we have the CEO and co-founder of Awetu with us, Yusuf Rondera Rees. Yusuf, let's go back to the lines. We've got TK in Florida. How's it, TK? Thanks for calling us.
Hi, Yusuf. Thanks for the opportunity. How are you?
His name is Yusuf.
Hey, TK, how's it?
No, I'm greeting everyone. How are you, Yusuf? How are
you? No, we're good. Thanks, my man. Thanks for calling.
No, I'm good. Yusuf, I actually know you personally. I just like to say you do a good job at Awetu.
Thanks, man.
My first question would be, I've been integrated in various incubators myself, but I see the training is sort of like monotonous and it doesn't actually assist in terms of the after the training. You know what I mean? Mm. We need something which is more strong in terms of, you need something strong in terms of going forward after the training. You find yourself after the induction, after being facilitated into the program, but then after, and then you find a gap in terms of now actually starting to grow that idea, to work hard towards building that idea. You know, there's still reality that kick in, like your working capital, obviously all the challenges that come with business. I feel that incubator programs are not actually strong in terms of giving out sort of like a stronger background in terms of supporting you to the end as a small business, especially operating in an informal sector, you know what I mean?
Mm.
And then secondly, what becomes another issue is that obviously the focus being small business, we find that small business, the lifespan is short, you know what I mean? And we're not finding proper programs which are going to support us in terms of a longer lifespan in terms of the businesses. And then I also wanted to find out that I want to do like invoice discounting. For instance, if you get a tender from government, would you guys also facilitate, like, would you support in terms of funding?
Okay, that's a laundry list of issues. Yusuf, we don't have much time, so you don't have to pick all of them. I know you are generous to a fault. I am particularly interested in understanding, not knowing anything about incubator programs. Along the value chain of playing in any sector of the economy, what level of support should people be even expecting when they go into this kind of project?
Yeah, I think that's a really good point, man, is that the incubator programs are expensive and South Africa doesn't have that much money in this space. So the real goal, I think, is if you're going to spend money, make sure that it's spent sustainably and it's sorted. You sort out a problem. Don't create a dependency that then has to be fed over time, right? Yeah. But there are people, so TK, to the point you're making, there are organizations that play at each level of entrepreneurial development. Mm. And because entrepreneurs need different things as they go. So the best thing I can say is look at the Aspen Network of Development Entrepreneurs. Just put out a thing which South Africans who don't know the space, you'd be very proud to see how much work is done in the entrepreneurship space in this country to make it happen. And this report that Andy put out shows everyone who's doing everything. So there will be an organization there that will suit the needs that you have. Okay, but does that answer the question?
Yeah, let's leave it there. Yeah, okay, let's go to the next caller. Yeah. If you want to squeeze in a call, we'll take one or two more. 011-883-0702 in Johannesburg and in Cape Town on 021-446-0567. Nazim, good morning. Hello, Nazim.
Fantastic topic, and what you guys are doing is unbelievable on so many levels. I just want to put this contribution in. There's two areas that we've focused on and would like to work with you guys or work through you to get the market. I'm talking about the people that need the support. One is in the fiber space in South Africa. Currently, addressable market spend is about $22 billion. We'd like to help people because what we found is most of the guys who are failing are not failing because they don't have business. They're failing because they don't have working capital and don't understand how to run a business. And the second area would be in the area of defense. So if we could connect somehow on that, we'd like to be of assistance.
What was the second area, Nazim? Did you say defense?
Defense.
The first one is fiber, and the second one is defense.
Okay.
All right.
I don't know what he's talking about, but you guys are fluent in this language.
He's talking about defense, man.
Defense.
Yeah, you know, like in soccer, you have the
attackers.
Okay. No, okay, so Nazim, you just drop an email to that email address that I gave, info@aweta.project, and if we can help, we will. Our funds right now are focused on the SAB supply chain, so we can only invest there, but I can help, man. We know a lot of people in the space. If you've got a good case to make, I'm happy to connect you.
I'm very curious at the way you have been referencing SAB in particular. In terms of corporates overall in this country, how seriously do they take enterprise development and making sure that they are really serious about their supply chains where they can leverage that to help make the circle bigger?
So I find two things about South Africa in general. One is that I think there's really a lot of positive energy by the people who are here to do good, genuine good, without all these labels that we attach to everyone.
Yeah.
People want to help. But also, then people need a carrot and an incentive to do so, right? Because otherwise we get caught in our daily grind. Mm. We don't have vehicles necessarily. We don't apply ourselves. And so with the BEE codes changing, then corporate South Africa is into this ENSD issue now. In fact, we went to SAB and we said, hey, we want to raise money for our micro incubator and for early stage black-owned businesses. And they said, that's awesome. But right now we've got to transform our supply chain because the BEE codes need us to do that. And so what can you propose there? And so that's how this whole fund came about.
Mm.
And so, I mean, look, SAB is a partner. So, you know, take it from where it comes. They're one of our funders. But look, they've got agricultural programs. They've got micro-entrepreneurship programs. They've got small black-owned business programs, big black-owned business programs, transformation programs. They've got basically an entrepreneurship program for everyone. And that, you know, a lot of work is being done. And we're not talking small money here. Hey, our fund is only 300 million. Our fund is 300 million, which is big. And there's multiples of that being invested by SAB in this problem. So they're taking it very seriously, them and InBev, who've just come in, right? And, you know, I'm going from here to a meeting at Discovery, which is one of our first funders, to talk about exactly the same thing. There's a real desire to transform things now because people want to and because they have to.
Yusuf, you do fantastic work. Love your work, love the impact, and love the entrepreneurs and the talent that you have incubated, which I think has been absolutely, absolutely stunning. Just before I let you go, we only have about 30 seconds, just a reminder for people, at least your digital platforms, where they can find more information, your website.
Awetuproject.co.za, Twitter and Facebook at Awetuproject, and definitely email us info@aweta.project because there's a few things that aren't even listed on our platforms yet but are opportunities that are going to come up and we'll let you know about those.
Great stuff. All the best.
Thank you, sir.